Day to be in the Lord's house, isn't it? And we're not in the rain, and what a thankful gift that is to have the rain. This morning in our Sunday school class, our scripture was Psalm 19, 7 through 14. And the psalmist in verse 14 prayed that his word and meditations would be acceptable to God. It is one thing to guard our words, it's quite another to guard our thoughts. I know if you're like me, our thoughts can stray so much quicker than my actions can. Yet God's word, as we all know, but it's always good to have that reminder from the Bible that it can do far more than merely policing our actions. It can go deep into our minds, our hearts, and our souls to change the way we think. And like the psalmist, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God in heaven, we adore you and glorify you forever. You promised us that whenever we call upon your name, you will answer us with your presence. Come into our midst, Father. Fellowship with us. Grace us by your presence. We are here today to worship you. May our praises and worship be acceptable in your sight, Lord. As we worship together, let us feel you, refresh us in you, renew us and make us grow in you. Guide us in our worship according to your will, Lord. Thank you that you have brought each one of us here today. We thank you, Lord, for the mercy and salvation we have through Jesus Christ. As we gather, we remember those who are not with us today. To those who are sick, we ask for healing. To those who are away from us, we ask for your blessing to be upon them. Come dwell in our hearts, Lord. Equip us, challenge us, comfort us, teach us. Inspire us as we learn more about your word and your ways. Be with our pastor as he delivers your message today. And may we also carry your message today as we go beyond these doors. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us continue our worship through song this morning. Father, there is wonder-working power in your blood. Greater are you who is in us than he who is in the world. We worship you now with our tithes and offerings. Please use them to build your kingdom, and we will give you the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, choir. As they're getting to their seats, let me ask you a question. All right. I want to follow on what I talked about last week. Last week, the sermon was on that prayer is a conversation. There are a couple of things I want to touch on that before we get into this week's prayer. Do you remember that first date that you had with your spouse, with a boyfriend, with a girlfriend? Do you remember that first time that you met your best friend? And I don't know about you, but I know for that first date and even that first time that I meet somebody, sometimes the conversation is a little awkward. You don't know exactly what to say. So, you know, sometimes you start out with, you know, the basics, you know, the weather, where'd you come from, you know, what do you like to do? And so on my first date with Kim, you know, I learned that she was a Spanish lit major studying for education. I don't remember what else I learned other than that. But I, you know, sometimes it's a little awkward. And for some of us, prayer at first can be a little awkward. We don't know what to say. I mean, we know that we're supposed to pray to God. And maybe, you know, we remember the prayers that we learned as a child. You know, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. But, you know, that doesn't really work in the morning, right? Because in the morning, you're not laying down to sleep. So, you know, and so maybe you learn some of those other prayers. You know, God is great, God is good, now we thank him for our food. But that doesn't work if you're not sitting down to eat. And so sometimes we're a little bit nervous, right? I mean, there are some of you that if I asked you to come up and pray during the worship service, your knees would... Well, you might just say no, but your knees would quake because we're a little nervous. But what I want to remind you is that prayer is a conversation. It's not so much about the exact words that you use. You know, you don't have to pray in King James English. You don't have to use some of the big words that you may hear others use in prayer. Prayer is simply a conversation between you and God. You just talk to him about what is on your heart. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is able to even interpret the groans of our heart. Because sometimes we can't formulate the words that we want when we're trying to talk to God. But prayer is just a conversation. Now, I want to clarify that as well, that last week I talked about the idea of a relationship. So my advice when you're praying would be to remember that you're praying to your Heavenly Father. So you're not necessarily just praying to a good old chum. You're not praying to the man upstairs. You're not just praying to the whatever. When I talk to my Father, there's a level of respect that is there as part of the conversation. All right, I don't necessarily have to hunt for the words, but as I talk to my Father, I remember that he's my Father. And so sometimes that affects what I might say. I might talk to I might talk to Kim a little different. I might talk to my children a little bit different than I would talk to my Father. And so last week I talked about the idea of relationship. So it's really just a conversation between you and your Heavenly Father. All right. So I want to follow up on that. I also want to mention the first verse that should be up there. And if you've got your outline, it's in your outline. It's from the book of Revelation. You know, sometimes you may feel like, you know, God's busy. He doesn't necessarily want to hear your prayer. He doesn't necessarily have time for your prayer. Well, you know what? That's simply not true. You and I, we can be too busy that we don't have time to have a conversation with somebody else. But God is never too busy. That's one of the amazing things about who God is, that He is infinite. And so He can hear all the prayers of the world all at once, and He's not confused by it. He's not overwhelmed by it. God wants to hear your prayer. This verse from the book of Revelation. It says, now, when he had taken the scroll, and it's from the book of Revelation, it's talking about the Lamb of God who was slain, who's taken the scroll. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, but look at this, and a bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Right? Now, we, in our worship service, we don't use incense, at least not on a regular basis. You know, last year I had a little bit of frankincense and a little bit of myrrh warming, and I don't think it really filled the sanctuary. But frankincense and myrrh were some of the ingredients that were put into the incense in the Old Testament. So what Revelation is saying is that our prayers are a bowl full of sweet-smelling aroma to God. All right. Now, the best I can relate that to in our day and age, because not some of you may use incense, some of you may use scented candles, but you know, this week I made banana bread. Well, you come in the house, and if you like banana bread, you can you walk in the door, you smell it, and you think that is a nice smell. I like that. Do you remember at Thanksgiving, you may have kind of that same feeling. You go into the house, and I don't know what you all eat at your Thanksgiving, okay? And it's changed now that I've married a Southern girl and Southern people have moved into my family. I never in my life had sweet potato casserole until, I know, can you believe it? I never had sweet potato casserole until after I got married. Corn pudding. But you go into the house at Thanksgiving and you smell maybe the bread cooking, you smell the turkey cooking, you smell the cranberry sauce, you smell the sweet potato casserole, you smell the corn pudding, you smell the stuffing, and y'all are getting hungry. We've got a long ways to go, right? You smell maybe the pies and things like that, and you come in and you think, this is a beautiful smell. That's what John is saying in the book of Revelation, is that our prayers are a beautiful aroma, are something delightful to God. God wants to hear us talk to Him. It brings pleasure to Him when we say our prayers, when we speak to Him, when we converse to Him. Okay, I just want to follow that on from last week. Okay, this week, the idea is, where and when do we pray? How many of you have had dinner with family and friends? Okay, some of you apparently don't eat. I'm thinking that you've had dinner with family or friends at some point. Okay, where have you had dinner with family or friends? Go on, name a few places. Home, okay? A lot of us eat at home. Where else have you eaten with family and friends? I'm partially deaf. You got to be loud. What? Hibachi Grill. Okay, so maybe you've gone out to a restaurant. Where else? Chili's? Anywhere else? Charlie's? Church. Okay. All right. So you have had dinner with people all sorts of places, right? Okay. So Kim and I, we try to have a date each week. Okay? Let me just say, there was a period when we were dating, and we would either go out to eat, or we would, you know, maybe she prepare a meal for me, or I prepare a meal for her, and we would have, you know, that date time, okay? And then when we got married, it was a little more. It was just the two of us, so we could generally sit down to eat together at dinner. Okay. But children came along. All right. And it makes things just a little bit more challenging. Okay. So our daytime, our together time after children came along tended to be when the children went to bed. Okay. Now once we were able to get them to sleep through the night, to get them on a regular schedule, you know, that bedtime might be 7 or 8 o'clock at night. That left a whole lot of the evening for us to sit down and to talk. Okay. As the kids got older, sometimes that daytime tended to be a little bit later, but we would have, you know, often we'd have chocolate, we'd get the kids in bed, have chocolate chip cookies and milk. Okay? Not necessarily best for the waistline, but anyway, it was good stuff. And so we got to sit and we got to talk while the children were sleeping. Okay, now my children often stay up later than I do. All right? So it doesn't work to get the kids in bed and then to have chocolate chip cookies and milk unless we really want to do that at 1 o'clock in the morning. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, there are other things I want to do than eating chocolate chip and cookies, believe it or not. So now it tends to be that we've gotten to the point where we can leave one of our older children in charge and we can go out. So 2 weeks ago, we went to a restaurant. Somebody had given us a gift certificate. We went to the restaurant. We got to, you know, eat some good food and a quiet atmosphere and to talk. Now, this past Friday, it ended up being, I think, 10 o'clock at night that we left the kids home by themselves and we went out in the car. We got a Coke and a French fry from McDonald's and we sat in the car and had a conversation. Right? So the first point you outline is, where do we pray to God? Well, the shorter answer is anywhere. Anywhere. You can pray to God anywhere. Look at what Jesus says. John chapter 4, verses 21 to 23. Jesus is coming through Samaria. The disciples have gone into town to get some food. Jesus has sat down by the well. He's speaking to a Samaritan woman who's come to the well. And so they're having a conversation about where they worship God. Okay. So the woman says, you know, you Jews, you worship God there in the temple. Us Samaritans, we worship the God here on this mountain because Jacob has given us this mountain. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We, that is the Jews, worship what know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But verse 23 says, but the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Now, prayer is part of worship. And so what Jesus is saying is, you know, you're concerned about whether we worship God there and in the temple or where you worship God here on this mountain. But God is saying that you can worship God wherever. You're not limited by space. You don't have to go to a certain place in order to worship God. You don't have to go to a certain place in order to pray to God. So if you look in the Bible, Jesus prays to the Father on a mountain. He prays to the God, Luke says, in a certain place. I don't even know where that certain place is, but I don't think it's on a mountain. Jesus prays to the Father in a garden. Jesus prays to the Father really wherever he goes. He prays to God. He's not limited by time or place if we look at the life of Jesus himself. Jesus talks about praying in the temple. And so, where do we pray to God? Wherever you are. You can pray to God in your house. You can pray to God in the shower. I pray to God a lot in the shower. Why? Because it's time for me to think. It's quiet. I pray to God when I'm driving in the car. If it may be on my way to work or if I'm on a trip, often I have a conversation with God. Where can you pray to God? You can pray to God wherever you want. Anytime you want. Sometimes we feel like we've got to be in a certain place. You don't have to be in the church to pray. You don't have to be in your chair at home to pray. You can pray to God in your bedroom. You can pray to God in the backyard. You can pray to God when you're walking around the block. You can pray to God before your test. You can pray to God after your test. You can pray to God at the doctor's office, at the dentist's office. You can pray to God no matter where you are, at school or at work. I mean, maybe we can't have public prayer in school anymore, but you can pray in school. They're not going to keep you from praying at your desk by bowing your head over your food or in your classroom. They're not going to tell you you can't pray at your cubicle. Wherever you are, you can pray with God. Kim and I can have dinner together. The only requirement is that we actually have to be together, right? But you know what the Bible says? The Bible tells us that God is everywhere. That God never leaves us nor forsakes us. So you know what? That you can have prayer anytime you and God are together. But you know when that is? That is absolutely every moment of your life. All right. So the second point of your outline. If we can pray to God wherever we are, then when do we pray to God? When do we pray to God? Well, Kim and I can have conversations anytime we're together, right? So, I mean, Kim and I can talk as we're passing in the house. We can talk when we're together in the kitchen. We can talk in the morning. We can talk at night. We can use our telephones. We can talk during the day. We can talk whenever we want. But you know what? Our best conversations happen when it's just the two of us. Because you know what happens when we're at home in the evening or in the morning? Often she's getting ready for school, I'm getting ready for work. We're kind of passing, really, in the house. Often in the evening, you know, Kim's preparing the dinner or cleaning up the dishes, or we're trying to get help kids with their homework, or we're trying to get things done, and we end up passing. How many chairs are at this table? Two. Why? Because our best conversations with God come when it's just the two of us. This past week, I had a meeting Monday night. I got home about 9:30. I had a meeting Tuesday night. I got home about 9:00. Wednesday night, I had prayer meeting, and I got home a little bit late. Thursday night, Kim had leap, and she got home a little bit late. It's not that we didn't see each other. It's not that we didn't talk during the week. But what we really needed this week was that specific time to talk to one another. There are always events happening in our life. There are always things going on. In a marriage, if you're not careful, the busyness can take over. And Kim and I can simply be ships passing in the night if we don't set aside the time. We can talk any time of day, but we need to set aside specific times that we ensure that we're going to have the conversation. So for Kim and I, that tends to be Friday, somewhere during that day. We're going to go out to lunch, or we're going to go out to McDonald's, or we're going to go out somewhere and leave the busyness behind so that we're able to have a conversation, just the two of us. You know what? Jesus prayed in the morning. He prayed in the evening. He prayed all night long. If you read in the Bible, Jesus didn't have necessarily a specific time every day that he prayed to the Father. We see him praying to the Father throughout the day at different times of the day. But the important thing is that he had that time. The Bible says over and over again that Jesus left the crowds. He left the disciples. He went away and prayed to the Father. Look what Matthew chapter 6:6 says. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. The context of that verse is about the hypocrites who pray in the synagogue, who pray on the street corners so that people can see them. But what I want to take out of that is that the hypocrites are praying amongst the people. But what Jesus says is that when you pray to the Father, I want you to come away. It doesn't necessarily have to be a prayer room in your house. It's great if you have a prayer room. But I don't see that Jesus actually necessarily went into a specific room to pray for the Father. So often he left the crowds, he left everybody, and just went off to a solitary place. So I think what Jesus is instructing us to do is that we need to have those times when we leave the crowds behind, when we leave the family behind, and we have those moments when it's just us and just God, uninterrupted, that we have time to talk, and based on last week, and to listen, right? The conversation that I have with Kim. I mean, I'm hoping it's not just me talking. There are sometimes I've noticed recently that I'm unloading a lot on her. I'm just telling her about all that's going on. But hopefully there are those moments when I'm also listening to her to see what's happening with her. But, you know, you've got to have a set amount of time. And I'm not going to tell you how long that is. But 5 minutes is not adequate for Kim and I to talk and to talk about the things that are going on in life. Often, you know what I find? That there's never enough time. So the other night when we were in the car eating French fries and drinking sodas there together in the car, you know what happened? We kind of decided it was getting a little late and we needed to get home. It wasn't that we necessarily were done talking, but we needed to get back to the children that were waiting on us. So I had one child who was just waiting for us to come home so that she could get a toothbrush so she could brush her teeth and go to bed. And so the longer we stayed out, the less time that she couldn't get that toothbrush. So, you know, the things of life, they press upon us. And so as much as we would like to leave family and friends and job and all those things behind and simply, you know, I would love to just go out to a shack in the woods and just leave all this behind and just spend time with God. But you know what? The bills don't get paid if I don't work. The children won't be educated if we're not there to help them with education. You know, the life continues. But we need to set aside time that we can be alone with God. Now, as I mentioned last week, I think one of the best ways that we can hear God talk to us is by reading His Word. So, you know, we tend to call that a quiet time. And so our alone time, our quiet time with God very well may include scripture reading. And it may involve us praying, speaking the requests that we have, confessing the sins that we've committed, praising God, thanking God, interceding on behalf of others. But that quiet time should also include those moments when we just sit quietly and listen. Listen for God to speak. You know, this week I was driving to Jefferson Forest High School because I needed to pick Emily up from her PSAT. And there were some things that I've been wrestling with. And as I was driving, I was talking to God. And as I mentioned last week, you know, sometimes it's hard to get my mind still. But I heard God speak to me. I heard God give me wisdom about what I should do. It wasn't necessarily what I was thinking. But as I reflected on that still small voice that spoke to me, I thought, you know, I think this is from God. I think this is a godly solution to the problem that I'm facing. We have to learn to listen. And so that's really why I started there last week, because I think that's the foundation, hearing the voice of God, recognizing that prayer is a conversation with God. And so I think that we need to have a date with God. We need to schedule time. We need to set it aside. You know, and things may come up. It may be that one day your date is not in the morning when you usually have it. It ends up being later in the evening because things happen. And so we've got to move it aside. But the important thing is that we reschedule that time with God and we don't just let it pass us by. So my question for you this week is, what time are you going to set aside to talk, and I should have added, and listen to God this week? You may already have a regular time to do that. You know, and it may be in the morning for you. It may be that you do it during lunch. You're able to get to a quiet place wherever you have lunch, whether it's at your house or your job or somewhere else. You're able to have that time where you can sit down and talk with God. It may be in the evening. Maybe you're not a morning person. So when you get up, there's just chaos waiting for you once you step out of the bed. And so for you, nighttime is a better time to talk to God. At night, you're able to settle your mind down as you're putting aside the events of the day, and you can just quietly talk with God. I'm not going to tell you when you need to do it, because as I look at the Bible, I don't see that the Bible says it has to be a certain time of the day. Jesus sometimes did it in the morning. He sometimes did it at night. He sometimes did it all night. But we each need to set aside the time to speak to God. I think every day, and I don't just pray once a day. I mean, I need to have that concerted time. But I'm praying with God throughout the day. And you know what? God wants to hear those prayers because things come up throughout the day. Yeah, we have opportunities to pray. We have a prayer meeting every Wednesday night. I would love for you to come out at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night to be a part of the Chestnut Baptist Church family that gathers to pray. But if you come, that's not your alone time with God. That doesn't take place of your set-aside time for God. I can talk with God, Kim, in lots of places. We can come to a church social and we can be at the table and we can talk. In the evening when the kids are all around the table, we can talk. But that's not the date with Kim, is not when the kids are there. All right? Because in my mind, a date involves two people. Kim and me and nobody else. Every once in a while when we go out on a Friday, there ends up being a child that tags along. And so we compromise on that one maybe for that week. But we set aside that time that it's just the two of us. And we need to do that with God. Where do we pray? Wherever we are. When do we pray? We can pray to God anytime and every time. But I encourage you to set aside a time that can be a good period of time where it's just you and God. When are you going to set aside that time this week? If you bow with me in prayer. Dear Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that we can come before you. I thank you that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we're boldly able to enter your presence. I thank you that your word tells us, Lord, that our prayers are pleasing to you, that you delight in them. Father, I pray that you would train us to sit in silence. I pray that you would train us to listen. And Father, I pray that you would help each one here to look at their schedule. And to see when they can set aside that time, when they can schedule that time to be with you. Because we need those moments to deepen our relationship with you. So Father, I pray for each one here. Lord, I pray that you would guide us. Lord, help us to make that sacrifice. Time is all that we have. And we need to sacrifice some of that time so that we can spend it with you. But Father, I pray that when we do that, Lord, that you would bless us in those moments. That we would hear your voice. That we would delight in those moments together, Lord. And that you would glorify yourself in our sight. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A hymn of response this morning is number 499. I will sing the wondrous story. If you're here today and I can pray with you this morning, I'd be more than happy to do that. I'd be more than happy to talk to God on your behalf or with you there. If you're here and you'd like to join Chestnut Hill Baptist Church, I can talk to you about that down front as well. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I'd like to invite you to do that. The Bible very clearly says that we are separated from God. That our sin creates a chasm between us and God. That our good works can't bridge. The Bible tells us that it's appointed man once to die and then the judgment. So this is kind of a picture that I see. So you die and you stand before God. And you say to him, you know what? I think I did enough good things. He says, you know what? Your good things, they weren't enough. There's no second chance. The Bible tells us that the only way that we can enter into eternal life with the Father is through Jesus Christ. That is the only way that we can do it. Our best work is always going to fall short. And so if you're here today and you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, or you're not even sure what I'm talking about, please come talk to me about that. I'd like to explain it in more detail to you. Hymn number 499.
Story of the Christ. for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Let's sing verse 1 again.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Yes, I'll sing
the story of the Christ who died. And with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Okay, tonight at 5:30, we have English classes. We've got youth. We've got Awana. So we've got all that happening at 5:30. 6 o'clock, we've got the adult Bible study, The Birth of Freedom. So I encourage you to come out for those items this evening, okay? And don't forget, as you're leaving, if you want to pick up a paper copy of the proposed agreement with Liberty, you can get that in either the foyer, so you can look that over. And we're going to vote on that next Sunday. So basically, a week from now, that's when we transition to the special business meeting, okay? So we got that going on. Anything else?
Yeah, you can't leave here yet. So as I was told by a little birdie, that tomorrow is actually Pastor Ian's birthday. And so I'm not going to make you stand up here while we sing happy birthday to you, but as you're exiting the church today, make sure you stop and wish him a happy birthday, and our family wishes you a happy birthday.
Thank you.
So tonight our youth group is continuing our series, The Spiritual Warfare. So if you have any students that you know of that would like to come out, please invite them. I'm very excited about us addressing the next phase in understanding spiritual warfare. So be in prayer for our students, that they will have open ears to hearing God's words. Let us pray. Father God, God, we are so privileged and blessed to have been in your house today. And God, I just want to thank you for the freedom that this country gives to us to be able to freely come into a place of worship, to be in your presence. God, I thank you for the reminder by our pastor today that prayer can be done anywhere, at any time. And prayer is a conversation between us and you. And God, I pray that each person in this room that heard that message would be challenged to have a conversation with you today. God, as we step out of these walls, God, I pray that you would grant us the opportunity to share the gospel with at least one person this week. In Jesus' name, amen.